Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I love the gospel lesson for today because it is just chock full of stuff you don't want to hear. Really, there's 8 sermons in this one little text, which you also didn't want to hear. It's good we're having a meal a little later. So often this text is used to sort of beat us over the head, right? You know, people, your problem is that you just don't have enough faith and you're not ready. You don't have yourself sort of prepared and ready for the coming of the Lord. And it's coming soon. So be dressed for action. You know the type, where you're supposed to be moral and ready and upright and never sin and be pure and prepared for the coming of the Lord, because when the Lord comes, it's going to be ugly. And if you're ready and your lamps are lit, if you're morally upright and you've been following all the rules, if you've been giving at least 10% of your income to the church, you are ready. But if not, oy vey. Oh, I wouldn't want to be you. In a way, that's what Christianity in the popular world has been reduced to. A kind of formulaic idea of what it means to be prepared for that awful and wonderful day when Jesus will come again and wipe out the unfaithful. I thought that was a strange way to think about God, to think about our life in this world. You know, as I watch sometimes on television and as I read articles in the newspaper written by popular Christian writers, I have a sense that they're waiting. It's like being in a stadium and you're waiting, ready for the world to come to an end, and there you are. You've got your popcorn and your tickets and your Diet Coke, and you're going to watch all sinners get swept up in the great maelstrom, but not you. Well, this whole text begins with Jesus speaking to the disciples. Remember, Jesus has his face turned toward Jerusalem, and along the way he's meeting all of these people, and in a funny kind of way, the disciples ask, well, do you think he's talking to just us? Or to everyone? Is he just talking to us? Or to everyone? Well, we'll see. Jesus has been walking along the way, and you remember that last week he was pretty hard on everybody. The whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing, all that good stuff that happened. And now we've got this setup about what will it be like? What should we do? It begins, though, this text, not with be ready, not with get your purses together, not with give alms, not with give everything that you have away. It begins with these words. Do not be afraid. For those popular Christian proponents sitting in Aloha Stadium waiting to watch all of you burn, those must be hard words. That's That's the prologue to our text. The very first thing out of Jesus' mouth is, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It starts with a promise, not a threat. And when you start with that promise, the rest of the text begins to make more sense. Right off the bat, Jesus tells the disciples, and incidentally, everyone else who can hear, "Don't be afraid. From the very beginning, I want you to know that what God wants for you is everything. The kingdom, it belongs to you. God's good pleasure to give it to you." That's the promise. Now, what should you do with it? Well, first, don't be afraid. But as long as you've already gotten this gift of the kingdom, this gift of everything that God has to give, be ready for action. Not as a condition for receiving the kingdom, but as a fruit of the promise of faith. That seems like a very little thing, but it's everything. God isn't saying it is my pleasure to give you the kingdom if you do this, this, and this. Or it's my pleasure to give you the kingdom if you happen to be nice or moral or heterosexual or white or whatever it is that you want to plug in there. That's not there. The instruction for how to live is really a description of the fruits of the kingdom. The fruits of that faith, so ably described in our second lesson. So you don't give alms or give all that you have away, which, by the way, should make all of us very nervous, right? Because remember last year we were looking for the cures for greed, or last week? It just seems like last year to me. Last week we were looking at the cures for greed, and one of them was give everything you have away. Give it to the poor. Jesus actually said that right here. Be ready. Give everything you have away to the poor. Give alms. Do all of those things because you already have the kingdom. What more do you want? Or more apropos, what more do you need? See, that's where we get confused, and that's why we have trouble hearing this whole don't be afraid thing. We love the text where it says, you know, how could you worry about anything? Consider the lilies of the field. God gives them, you know, light and water and everything that they need, and they are among the most beautiful in the world, and yet they don't worry about anything. Well, if I was a lily, well, I am. But it's a sorry joke, isn't it? Sorry. Well, if I was a flower, that would be fine. But I'm not. So how can we be ready? How do we respond to this gift of the kingdom of everything? We respond with faith. You see, the difficulty is that we don't place our faith very squarely on this God whose pleasure it is to give us the kingdom. And Jesus sees this. He sees it in his own disciples and in all of us. That we trust really ourselves, and we trust systems, and we trust money, and we trust position. Our money says in God we trust, but we don't trust our money to God. So Jesus raises the fundamental question for us. In whom will you have faith? If your heart is set on the treasures of this world, in security or money or, God forbid, the Dow Jones, or your 401k, or your husband, or your wife, or like my poor mother, she placed her trust that her sons would get good enough jobs to support her in her old age. If those are the things in which we trust, then rust and moth will consume. Our fundamental trust lies in the God who promised Abraham and Sarah children beyond measure. Our trust lies in the God who says to us on the way to Jerusalem, where he will die on a cross, "Do not be afraid." Our trust lies in a God who gives himself up and herself up for the sake of all creation. When our faith and our trust, which is a gift from God, lies there, where no rust or moth can consume, then, and I think only then, can we be free enough to give all that we have, to share our love and ourselves and our possessions with our neighbor. It's not a gift that you can give well out of fear or obligation or duty or because it's just a good idea. For us within the Christian community, it defines our life. That we can give those things up because God's good pleasure is to give us the kingdom. Unearned and unlooked for. So the bottom line for Jesus as he stands there and looks at his disciples is to say, "You are free. You've been given the kingdom. There's nothing that you must do to earn it. It is a free gift. So feel free to give it away. And it will grow, and the world will rejoice." So maybe this gospel lesson that we hear today isn't all that pleasant after all. And perhaps we are, as the church, to be standing ready for this bridegroom for whom we have been waiting, lamps lit, oils filled, ready for the banquet for 2,000 years. But don't be afraid, for God has already given you the kingdom. Amen.